On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, it is our first post-game show of the 2021-2022 season. Yeah, it's preseason, but we're still counting it. The Raiders topped the Seahawks 20-7 in Las Vegas. First game in Las Vegas with fans. We'll talk about how it was basically John Gruden's wet dream of a game. And certain things gave us a regular season glimpse, certain things didn't. Some players showed up, some players did not. We'll talk about all of that. Go to www.manscaped.com using promo code WINBAGS for 20% off and free shipping worldwide. And we love that you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. There he is!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags, RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, and we watched some Silver and Black play football in a stadium with fans on the gridiron, pigskin flying. It's starting to taste it. Can you taste that? It's starting to taste like football. Like it's in the air, you know?
Just taste it. See what it tastes like.
Yeah, I can. Can you feel it down your plums?
Dude, I
blew a shoe.
I had my nuts were like all knotted up. Yeah. At around like 5:15.
You were feeling it.
I was like, oh shit. I had to go down to Wendy's and get one of those pineapple mangoes lemonades they got. Those are fucking delicious. No, hey, we're not getting paid from Wendy's, but Wendy's, goddamn it, your pineapple mango lemonade is mwah.
You've been all about the Wendy's these days.
Fuck, they're so good. Wendy's nuts were in your mouth. Oh! Got him.
Raiders beat the Seahawks 20-7 in the first preseason game of the season. The Nathan Peterman show. Threw the ball 39 times, completed at 29, 246 yards, no touchdowns, and an interception. Trey Regis basically dominated the rushing attack. Receiving was completely spread out. Keelan Doss had a pretty good game. 6 receptions, 55 yards, a long of 17. Caught everything that was thrown to him. But it really felt like what John Gruden wants a Raiders football game to be. Now, we'll get into like the starters and who played and who didn't, but it has like a general kind of commentary. Like the time of possession for the Raiders over double what the Seahawks had. Red zone, still very conservative. Run heavy offense. Ball control type game. Multiple double digit drives. And the defense showed up. Bend but didn't break. Minus the one touchdown that they had where it was absolute blown coverage. Missed tackle. A screen that went for like 45 yards. Other than that, I mean, it was a pretty standard issue John Gruden coached football game.
Yeah, the defense made one mistake. That was it. That one mistake, that one play. Because it was two mistakes in the same play, but it was one play where they screwed up, and that's the only play Seattle did really much of anything the entire game.
Yeah, I wonder how much schematically that was an error, because it looked like I don't know who was supposed to be covering that running back coming out of the backfield, because yeah, the tight end and the wide receiver on the right side. They both went inside. Everyone covered their man like they were supposed to. And it's just like nobody was covering the running back, whether that was.
If you catch somebody in the wrong coverage, man, sometimes you just scheme a guy wide open. It happens.
Yeah.
But that you do have to keep eyes in the backfield as well. So you don't just abandon a guy like that. I was very encouraged by what I saw from the defense.
Yep.
You're not going to see if there's a clear first string and a clear second string, which for the most part, you're going to see as far as most of the starting positions are pretty much locked up.
Uh-huh.
They're going to play pretty much the same, because you're going to have, okay, well, they're playing against better talent. Okay, well, or worse talent. Okay, well, that's not our starting lineup doing that. Our starting lineup is better than these guys.
Sure.
You know? And the defensive, like we talked about with Rory in the last episode, the defensive line was flying. They were in the backfield. They were winning the line of scrimmage the entire night. Mm-hmm. The secondary didn't look overwhelmed. They didn't look lost. They played fast. They kept everything in front of them. They made tackles. It just was a very boring game for Seattle, and that's what a Gus Bradley defense does.
Yeah. So let's get into who played and who didn't. Way less starters played than I kind of thought and kind of hoped for. On offense, the only starters that played, Andre James, Alex Leatherwood, which makes sense, right? The rookie Alex Leatherwood needs as many reps as he can get. Andre James, now the new starter at the center, needs to be there. Alec Ingold, technically the starting fullback, but he like doesn't really start in most packages. So it was kind of like
he didn't really
two and a much. Half starters played. So we didn't get to see, you know, splits between Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake. We didn't see Ruggs, Edwards, or Renfro. Waller's obviously still on the shelf, questionable, whatever. And the two things I really wanted to see, and we talked about this on our podcast last week, is I wanted to see cohesiveness with the offensive line, which they played well, but it was three backups and two starters.
Mm-hmm.
And I also wanted to see Marcus Mariota ball out and get some trade value for him, but because he was hurt, he didn't play a snap.
Play at all,
basically the Nathan Peterman show for all four quarters. So really, other than John Gruden's play calling, I don't know how much we can take offensively from what we saw from the guys that play.
Even though you had a mix of a few starters and mostly backups, they looked sharp.
Yeah.
They looked well coached, very few penalties. I don't think we had a pre-snap penalty, did we, on offense?
We had four penalties for 40 yards. I don't know if any of them were pre-snap.
Yeah, I don't think so. We had the only really bad penalty was the Nassib hands to the face, roughing the passer penalty, which was, he touched him. It wasn't anything. The guy didn't even hit the ground. You know, backed up a couple of steps. But other than that,
And also referees in the preseason are extra nitpicky to kind of like send a message did you make a mean face at the quarterback? That's 15 yards. All right.
15 whole yards.
Flag.
From the spot. No, they played fast. Even though, like you said, the offensive line was a mix of starters and backups, they played well. They played fast, and it just looked like they were ready.
Yeah.
And if that's not always the case, that hasn't always been the case the last few years.
Yeah, you're basically just kind of getting a taste of like the, what's the good word for it? Like to kind of like the morale of the team, right? Are they upbeat? Are they jumping up and down? Yeah. Are they dragging their feet or are they hopping? Are they communicating or are they blaming? Are, you know what I mean? Are they congratulating or is it all about me? Like, you know, you get kind of like a little flavor of just what the character and the core of the team is. On defense, again, only like 2.5-ish starters, Trevon Moehrig, Jonathan Abram, and then Tanner Muse kind of sorta starting.
He played a little bit.
Nixon might be a starter.
Nixon and Hobbs are fighting for that
slot
spot. Slot, and they both played, and they both Hobbs perfectly timed blitz, man.
Yeah.
That was nice.
He did the standard issue DB blitz where instead of lowering your shoulder and hitting the quarterback, he jumped and swatted. Did you notice that? Like you see linebackers or D linemen connect on a quarterback. It's like
they run through the quarterback.
Oh, dude, like swat, they're like, oh, because they've been dreaming about this. Like that's all they do, right? Like it's like you've been working on your game at the bar all night long, and you finally run into some drunk hobag, and you're like, all right, I'm latching onto this and going. The DBs, like, that's not, like, their thing. So he's like, oh, man, I'm here. Like, boop, hop, jump, like, slap. And so he got the strip sack and eventually got called back. But if he would have just lowered his shoulder, like, he could have wrecked somebody.
Dude, he hit him hard. I mean, even after – I mean, Phylon was there too. But Geno Smith's head bounced off the turf pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I was hard to concentrate after he said drunk hobag. That's usually my trigger.
Yeah. You blacked out there for a second.
What'd I say?
Yeah. So again, do I need to see Yannick Ngakoue rush the passer? No.
We know what we're going to get from them, man.
Do I need to see Corey Littleton like cover? Like, no, but I was curious schematically kind of, you know, what we'd see again, not to repeat myself, but just kind of like the character of the defense. Do Do they know their assignments? Are they flying to the ball? Are they doing math in their head like last season, trying to figure things out before they move? And it seemed like they were moving pretty well. Only one real blown assignment.
It was the backups. It was a third string guys who are mostly going to be special teams guys or not on the team at all.
But defensively, things that stuck out to me was Damon Arnette, that first big game in the first quarter, missed an assignment, missed the tackle, and that was a big pass.
The coverage was tight. Yep. That was nice, tight coverage, so that was good, but you got to make the tackle, man. That's a backup wide receiver in the NFL. A guy that's probably not going to play that much. If that's DK Metcalf, there's no way you're bringing him. Like Lockett, you're not bringing any one of those dudes down.
Yeah.
Not like that. So that was a little concerning because Arnett's going to be getting some playing time. I didn't notice Abram. If you didn't tell me he started, I wouldn't have noticed.
Same with Morig. I was curious to see what.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
They make plays. They're around the ball. They were around the ball a lot, but they didn't make any stupid plays, which is okay. Good.
Yeah. I mean, at this, we, of course, like the John Gruden has been stressing and Gus Bradley has been stressing, like, we need turnovers. We need big plays. We need turnovers. Those are game changers. That's something special. No turnovers, I believe, for the Raiders today. No fumble recoveries. That strip sack was taken back. No interceptions. But if I had to take like a boom or bust defense or kind of what we've gotten to like believe a Gus Bradley defense is, prevent everything in front of you, give them the short stuff, don't give up big plays. That is a light year step forward for our defense and what they've been the last 10 seasons.
It's almost what we do to ourselves offensively. Mm-hmm. We have this offense where it's just execute the offense and you'll be fine. The issue with that is you force yourself to be pretty much perfect or else things are going to unravel, right? That's the same thing we're doing to the opposing offense. We're forcing them to be perfect, and we're capitalizing on the mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if we can take these teams out of their game plans, I mean, that's what a Gus Bradley defense does. And we're banking on their quarterback maybe not being as accurate as ours is. Maybe getting a little bit more frustrated and wanted to force the ball down the field a little bit more. And if that happens, you know, the defense is ready for it. The secondary specifically.
I didn't learn as much about what to expect this season based on the single preseason game. And again, we have two more. Hopefully we'll see some more starters in there just to kind of build some cohesiveness, give us a look at what's going to happen here. It is very John Gruden to be like, no, I'm just putting in second stringers, third stringers. I'm not going to give you one hint of what our offense is going to look like, one hint of what our defense is going to look like. I'm not going to let you know who's getting carries, Jacobs or Drake. I'm not going to let you know who I'm scheming to pass the ball to. Very standard issue, John Gruden. But on the flip side, he's also been a guy that's been like, he's old school. I want more practices. Like if he had his way, there'd be double days going back to June all the way up until the season. Everyone would play the preseason game. So I'm assuming that like the Rams, like, you know, the next couple preseason games, we'll see some more starters. We'll see some more kind of like a look of what the football team might actually look like this season. But did you get any major questions answered? And did you have any major takeaways from the four quarters we saw tonight?
A few.
Okay.
On offense. If any one of our guys go down for an extended period of time on quarterback, Nathan Peterman looked like he is a more than capable backup quarterback.
Isn't that crazy? Like he was the punchline of the NFL.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck happened to him this offseason. He's like the kid that like the shortest kid in class. All right, last day of school. See you, you know, in the fall. And he comes back and he's like 6'2". Like, what the fuck? Happened to you? He looked like, all right, God forbid somebody goes down or whatever, and then someone gets tweaked in a game and they have to be out for a couple of series. Nathan Peterman looks like a guy who can go in there and the fucking wheels aren't going to fall off.
Yeah.
You know, so that was one. Zay Jones looked good. Mm-hmm. The fuck? I guess all the shit we're hearing is fucking true. Like, he looked really damn good. And defensively, I think you can take something away major from this game, even though it was mostly backups, mm-hmm. is they looked like they knew what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah.
They were
ready. They might miss a tackle, but they were in position.
They were there. They were prepared. Yeah. Even that one big play that they gave up, it was a completely blown coverage with a guy wide. It had to be a guy wide open and a guy missed a tackle for them to give him a big play. It wasn't like, oh, a guy got shook. He broke a tackle and broke another couple tackles. A guy took a bad angle and we gave him a big play. No, it was like a complete off the wall thing that probably not going to happen a lot where a guy's completely open and a guy missed a tackle. So the secondary specifically, they played fast. They played aggressive. They contested passes. Guys didn't get a lot of, yards after catch. The defensive line looked really good. The tackles all looked good. The tackles all looked good. They were flying around the ball. They're winning the line of scrimmage, pushing the guys, the offensive line back from Seattle. Farrell was around in the backfield all the time. He was around the quarterback a lot.
Yep.
Farrell only
had one tackle. I mean, he looked like he was there, but isn't that kind of Clay Farrell in general? Like he's always like getting pressures and like, he's always around the ball. He just rarely gets home. I mean, this is a pretty standard issue Clay Farrell game, right?
Which is why he's a backup.
Yeah.
He's a solid backup. He's going to be there. He's going to make plays if the plays are right in front of him, but he's just an around the ball guy.
So let's go through all the things you mentioned, starting with Nathan Peterman. Marcus Mariota, I think, still clearly the number two quarterback. But I wonder if this is John Gruden's personal like double bird to everybody making fun of him for giving Nathan Peterman $1 million every year that he's actually been able to develop in. Because remember, he was the joke of the NFL for the longest time. And this will be his third season with the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Third, right? And so
two with Buffalo, and this is his third with the Raiders.
So he's kind of been Gruden's pet project. And so this is his kind of way of saying, like, look, I developed this dude. I took him off the scrap heap. You all hated him. You all made fun of him. I turned him into something decent. And let's not anoint him anything. I mean, he looked good based on like what our expectations were from him. No touchdowns.
He looked sharp.
He looked sharp. He was slinging the rock pretty good from a very clean pocket. When he wanted to run, he ran pretty efficiently. I wonder if this is something that's going to make Gruden say, "Yeah, I was on the fence about trading Mariota. If someone needs him now, maybe I will." And again, this is Mariota's last year of his contract. I wonder if this has made Gruden think, would you be comfortable with Nathan Peterman as a career backup to Derek Carr for the next several seasons? Based on what you saw tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Based on what I saw tonight.
Yeah. If that Nathan Peterman is the true Nathan Peterman, not the one that we saw throwing interceptions willy nilly in New York forever.
Look, the guys that were in the game for Seattle, I really do think that Gruden called, Pete Carroll and was like, look, let's just slow down here. Okay. And it happens all the time because it's just like you don't really see a team start a bunch of starters and the other team start just a bunch of backups. They usually do the same thing. So the guys that Peterman was making passes against, especially in the first quarter, those are guys that are going to be playing on Sunday. These aren't scrubs. These are guys who are going to be rotational guys, maybe get a spot start here and there when someone gets hurt. But these are guys who are going to play, guys who are in a position battle, stuff like that. So he wasn't dropping these dimes against, shit dicks. Like, these guys were legitimate NFL players, and he was making, those two passes to Zay Jones were, you're not going to find better passes than that. Those are fucking amazing. So I'm comfortable if anything were to happen, God forbid, I don't like wish, even my opponents like RJ, you fucking tease me because of it. I don't like wishing people getting hurt on any team, whether our team or the other team. I don't want anyone to get hurt.
Yeah,
but I just want us to play better and win. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But if someone does, get tweaked or whatever and have to miss a few games, And then, you know, someone gets hit or run out of bounds, or, you know, he gets shooken up or hit a hand on a helmet or something, and Peterman has to go in for a while. I got no problem with that, the way he played today.
Support for the Autumn Windbags is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, like us do, with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WINDBAGS at manscaped.com. Love the Manscaped. Again, my favorite part of the Manscaped is the little light at the end of the Manscaped. So if I'm like lifting the ball sack up, really getting in there, I can see exactly what I'm going at instead of just blindly bringing the trimmers to the hedges.
Bringing, you know, the heat. I'm saying.
Yeah.
The light at the end of your tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code WINDBAGS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code WINDBAGS. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. What are the other two things you brought up?
The secondary and the defensive line.
So the defensive line looks. So I think if there's any position where we can evaluate and say, like, this is the one position group where we learn the most of what it would actually be like in the actual season, I think defensive line is the best one because they're going to be so rotational, right? Mm-hmm. Like Clay Ferrell's backup going to get a lot of reps. NASA backup going to get a lot of reps.
Jefferson, Filon,
like all Thomas. These guys, they're going to get a ton of reps, right? Like they're going to be like, you know, that's part of Gus Bradley's defense is keep fresh bodies in the defensive line to hustle. So the fact that they were able to, you know, be on that line of scrimmage, get a lot of pressure, be in the quarterback's face. I mean, again, I keep coming back to Clay Ferrell, but it's like, that's like the difference between a sack and a pressure could be an eighth of a second. It could be 4 inches of distance. Right. And so like, if they can just kind of just keep anarchy going on in the backfield, that's just such a big step compared to what we're used to, you know. Like I would love
to have a
5 sack game, and you know, have like, you know, Nassib get 3.5, and like, you know, for that $9 million he's getting. But it's like, hey, just being back there. Like our goal is an average defense, right? I would love for it to be a top five, right? Oh my god, like whatever. But like, just an average defense is going to make this team dangerous as hell, especially with how good the AFC West is and how good the quarterback could be playing in the AFC West. Just getting bodies back there. I just want Patrick Mahomes like smelling the breath of Max Crosby. Like that's I just need that and I will be content. You get to the quarterback, then I'm ecstatic.
We talked about it the last episode. One of the worries or one of the concerns was, how is the defensive line going to play? Because Gus Bradley doesn't blitz that much. I think he blitzed less than 4 times, probably like 3 times. I really saw.
And they almost all got home, right?
Yeah.
Hobbs strip, but almost a strip sack. When he does choose the blitz, like they usually get there.
Muse had made a nice play too on that, knocking that ball down. So he played really well, but we saw it just everywhere Gus Bradley goes, he gets pressure with 4 guys.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's the same. Well, no, as I said, it's not the same guys. Nassib and Farrell were the same. Filon and Thomas and Jefferson weren't the same. But this was that knockback line that they had when they had like Richard Seymour and Houston and those guys. Like they had that knockback line where as soon as the ball snapped, the offensive line got knocked back a couple of feet. And that's what you saw in this game. You saw that knockback line where, okay, I'm going to get this ball out quick, or I got to make – whoever was the quarterback, whether it was Geno Smith or Magoo, which is a fucking great name. They had
call
to
him Mister.
Mister, right? They had to make plays for the pass to be completed. Nothing was easy for them. They didn't have clean pockets. They weren't able to step up and make throws. They had to create space. They had to, you know, get different arm angles. They made it hard. Every single pass was a difficult pass. So that's great. That's what we wanted to see. because I mean, for all their talents, they're not the Max Crosbys of the world or the Gerald McCoys or the Yannick Ngakoues. Those guys are a little bit more twitchy and a little bit quicker. I'm going to be able to, they just have the nose to make the play. Right.
Yeah.
But if you make have a good mix, you know, you may be one play. You have Yannick on one side and Nassib on the other. They're still getting in the backfield, man. And that's going to be huge for us. Cause even when they did have time, there was nobody open.
Yeah.
This secondary did a really good job today.
Yeah. I think we touched on exactly what the character and the goal of each unit is going to be for this season. Is on offense, 39 passes, 36 rushes. That's John Gruden to a T, right? Yep. You know, flip those two or whatever. Like that's what he wants. The longest rush, 22 yards, the longest pass, 28 yards, but very few sacks, very few negative plays, only one turnover, very, very John Gruden. And on defense, I think you put it perfectly. Like you didn't hear anybody's name for good or bad. Like rarely did anyone just completely blow a play, blown coverage, miss a tackle, get embarrassed, get run over. And there's also nobody just like rarely like Hobbs and, you know, there's a couple of good plays, but rarely was just Hobbs, one guy.
Muse, Phylon was in the backfield
here and there, but there was rarely just one guy just taking over, doing anything incredible. It's simply, all right, offense, all right, defense. We're just going to stay on the field forever till the offense messes up, or we're just going to bend, not break. We're going to do our thing. And I think that's the core of this team. And I know we're capable of doing big things on offense when necessary, right? Derek Carr and company have done mm-hmm. it one games late when yep. necessary. We've seen it. Now the question is, can the defense win us a big game, rise to the occasion when necessary? I think that's if this preseason game is truly reflective of what the season's going to look like, then that's going to be my big question for the actual 17 game season. Can the defense deliver when necessary? We know the offense can. We know the offense can stay consistent. I believe the defense can be a bend, not break. That, to me, is the big question. Can you get a big play on defense when necessary? That's my number one big question that came out of watching this preseason game, if this preseason game truly represents the season.
It's going to come down to who's going to be more disciplined. Is our defense going to be more disciplined than the opposing offense?
Yeah.
Because we're going to force you to go underneath. We're going to force you to dink and dunk and make those chunk plays on after catch yards. Yep. That's what we're going to force you to do.
And you're only going to get a tiny sliver because we're going to have time of possession.
You better make your possessions count because we're going to make sure we make ours count. Mm-hmm. So that's what I feel we're putting the, if we're able to do it properly and we're able to keep the momentum offensively, it puts a tremendous strain and pressure on the opposing offense to make every single possession count for them.
Yeah.
One thing that I noticed after the guys, I watched the game on NFL Network and on the app on my TV. And so since it's not the actual NFL Network, I didn't get any commercials. So they didn't cut away for anything.
They just showed the strip for 3 minutes every time.
Or they showed the sideline, but no sound. But what you saw was, you knew who wasn't going to play because they were wearing the jerseys and no pads. But the starters are sitting there coaching up behind the guys who were playing, behind the backups, while the coaches are telling them what's going on, showing them the little surface that they had, at a Surface Pro, the starters are right there coaching them up and telling them, remember we talked about this and that. So that's what you want to see. And it happened, it was on the offense and the defense. And I don't know if you noticed this, but I really noticed it. After the blown coverage and the touchdown, Gruden was livid. He was screaming at every single guy coming off the field, every single one. Well, Gus Bradley is out there. It's all right, guys. It's all right. We'll get it. We'll work on it.
Good come
on,
cop,
guys.
Bad cop.
Like, and you know what? It's not a good cop, bad cop. Like, it's not a game or a role that's who they are.
Yeah.
Gus Bradley's been known to be a player coach, and Gruden's been known to be hard on players. And you know that they both care about you and they both want you to win. They both want you to succeed, but just to go about it in a different way. And if there couldn't have been just a better snapshot of their approach to coaching, that was it right there.
You know, the whole, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed. Gruden is the, no, I'm mad.
No, I'm fucking I'm pissed.
I'm very upset. I am emotionally distraught at you for your bullshit. What do you think that environment was like in that stadium the first time?
Nuts. At
Allegiant Stadium with fans, even if it was preseason, barely.
The fans
any
forgot
starters.
How to act, man. They forgot how to act. Like when they were like, when it was like third and long from like inside the five and the Jets and the Jets. Fucking what the fuck did I say the Jets for? Well, Geno Smith probably at the Jets, but the Seahawks were, you know, pinned back against their own end zone, and the fucking I'm sorry, it was the opposite. We were on like inside the five, then we're on offense. We're going in, and the crowd was going nuts, and we're like, they're like all offensive linemen.
Nathan Peterman's giving the shut up.
We can't hear.
We know you're excited, but you're supposed to yell at the other end.
That crowd was fucking loud. That crowd was electric, man. Yeah, man, that crowd was great.
It was great. History in the making tonight.
What a thick dick move, fucking Mark Davis. Like, oh, I can't have any fans. Well, I'm not gonna go either then.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go when my fans go. That's when I'm gonna go. Went out there, did the fucking ribbon cutting ceremony with Carlos Santana. Who did it? I don't know what the fuck.
Random, right?
I mean, dude, you want to talk about random? Fucking Marie Osmond. Like, if that's not Mark Davis fucking selection, she looked like Mrs. she looked like a motherfucking Mrs. Potato Head, dude. She got,
you know, she has every one of his albums in like cassette tape in his car.
Dude, she had that Michael Jackson weird nose, like that, like that post coke head fucking septum collapsing nose that got fixed.
Just eating apart like battery acid. Like you put a nail in a coke can.
Yeah, right. She could still sing. She could still sing. She did a good job with the anthem, but god damn, I was like, who the fuck is that? And then I go, my chick was the next watching the game with me, and I googled Marie Osmond. Like, this is what she looked like when she was on Dancing with the Stars, like maybe 5 years ago,
and she was still old but normal looking.
Right. And she's like, oh shit, I'm like, yeah, she's like, her and Gannon got everything, dude. I don't know if you noticed Gannon.
They had a two-for-one deal.
God damn, Gannon, what the fuck? He looked all just stretched out and like his eyes looked done. And that hair, it was weird. He had like some gray sideburns going on, but he had that like really bad dye job up top.
Like when a girl gets dumped and she like goes on a diet, gets a boob job, gets the hair did. That was Rich Gannon when he got canned from CBS last season. He's like, oh, you're going to can me? All right.
I'm going to come back looking 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Oh, God. He looked. Oh, no. Gannon. Go Raiders, man. You're MVP.
Love you.
Just grow. And Millen next to him, all gray, looking like a thug. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. I never would have imagined Rich Gannon, the one doing like looking like the dude in a Real Housewives of like Newport Beach look. It's great.
He looked like that. You see that Cocaine Cowboys series on Netflix?
No.
Yeah, so there's a guy who started the two friends who were like the original Cocaine Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
He is like a motivational speaker now, and he looks like him. He looks like young, but you could tell totally like a molded like. It's like Two-Face, like he got putty on his, like, it was bad, dude. It was fucking, I was like, oh, shit. There's only one other time when I saw somebody on TV and was like, wow, that as a male. And that was when fucking Dana White looked like he had just inhaled fucking three buckets of coke. And he looked bloated as shit and just red. And it was like his eyes, like he looked Asian. His cheeks are so bloated. He just did not look good. I'm like, bleh.
Like Dana White just looks like he's just been like always like constantly beefing up. I don't know. I mean,
can he even wipe his ass anymore?
He's got people for that, I'm sure. he's rich enough.
He cannot put his arms down.
Like, he's got half $1 billion. He's got an ass white boy for sure.
Probably an ass lick boy, licked by a shitty ass boy.
I'm surprised he didn't bring up Mickey Rourke. Like, that's the one guy, dude. Where it's just, but
he's
like,
been like that. I don't remember Mickey Rourke not looking like that.
That's what I'm saying. Is like every single time I see Mickey Rourke, it's like, oh wow.
But that's the thing; it's not shocking anymore to me because I don't remember him. I didn't watch what it was, 9.5 weeks or whatever. I didn't watch that shit. I watched him like after he did that shit. I do want to bring up one thing.
Okay.
A couple days ago, yesterday was a 4-year anniversary. Darren Waller's been sober for 4 years yesterday. That's an amazing feat. Excellent job, Darren Waller. I don't know if you're ever going to see this or anyone's going to tell you or anything, but dude, that is fucking awesome. Having friends and family, having lost friends, having lost family to substance abuse issues, having friends and family who are currently, you know, on the wagon like you. It's a big feat, man. And it's a big win, not only for yourself, but for all the people on your support system around you. That's fucking awesome, man.
It's a real testament to doing it and in that environment. So like the people that I know, like friends of mine that have come out on the other side and stayed sober, they've made massive life-altering decisions to do
new that. People. They're new people.
They're completely different. I had a good buddy of mine, giant Raider fan, went into rehab for 8 months for alcohol, came back, doesn't see any of us anymore because he's chosen just like not to see people that he used to drink with. Not that I would force him to or want him to, but he's just like, look, I'm not even going to risk it. I'm not going to risk it. Now he's like diehard Christian, like volunteers at all these places. It's like he's a whole new person because that's what he had to do to stay away from the sauce. And so for someone like, if I can use that with Darren Waller, it's like, you still have to be at practice and team dinners and you're in Vegas and like, you don't have
and charity events and events, the golf like, events. And like, you know, that's all booze right there.
You don't have full control over your life. Like my buddy does, like he can just be like, hey, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to do these activities with these people. And I have full control of it. And that's all I'm going to do. He can't do that because of his job. And yet he's still been able to like stay sober and accomplish all this. Really a testament to what he's doing. And I'm hoping that we'll see him on that football field soon with the injury / maybe holdout / whatever's going on with him.
I saw him warm up before the game. Some video of him. He looked good.
Yeah.
He was moving real nice, real smooth. So hopefully everything works out all right for him. Yeah. We'll get to see him in a uniform playing sooner than later.
Well, this is our first of at least 20 and hopefully more postgame shows for this season of the Autumn Windbags. So for those who are new to the show, we started the Autumn Windbags late season last season. And so now this is our very first time doing a preseason postgame show. Obviously, the very first time that it was a Las Vegas Raiders with fans postgame show. Mm-hmm. We'll be doing postgame shows for all the preseason games, all the regular season games, all the playoff games potentially coming this season. And it's nice doing another weekend show, man. Like instead of us waiting a whole week to be able to talk about stuff, it's like, bam, post game. There we go. Bam. But until, so we'll be doing post games every single weekend for all the shows, all the games moving forward. And we'll also still be doing our regular Wednesday recording coming out on Thursday as well. So until Thursday rolls around, knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Windbags. We really appreciate it. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, and all those podcast platforms. Check us out on YouTube as well, and give us a follow on all those social medias. Until next time, later.